So muktzah is a topic that comes up throughout almost the entire Masecht of Shabbos. And to be honest, muktzah kind of has a bad rap. And it's not really fair that muktzah has gotten itself this bad rap. Because the truth is, as young children, everything is muktzah. Anything that's, for some reason, prohibited on Shabbos becomes muktzah. You say, hey, don't turn the light on. It's muktzah. Or don't cook on Shabbos. You can't cook. It's muktzah. And everything somehow becomes muktzah on Shabbos. And it gets kind of confusing for one who's really trying to understand what is muktzah and what isn't muktzah. And what does muktzah actually mean? Because we call everything muktzah. And I think that there is actually a bit of a science, perhaps an inadvertent science that happened as to why we call so many things muktzah, but that's not really the topic of tonight's discussion or tonight's shiur. What I would like to accomplish throughout tonight's shiur is really to try to help understand what exactly is muktzah. Because muktzah spans across a number of different simanim in Shulchan Aruch. We seem to find a dispute between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda as to whether or not there is a problem of muktzah on Shabbos. Where Rav Shimon says he holds less lay muktzah, he says there's no issue of muktzah. And Rav Yehuda says there is a problem of muktzah, and it seems to be clear that we paskin like Rav Shimon. So if that's the case, why is it that we know of such a complicated simon Shulchan Aruch, simon Shin Ches, simon Shin Tes, Shin Yud, Shin Yud Aleph, Reish Ayin Tes, all over the place? We have so many simanim in Shulchan Aruch which are discussing muktzah if we don't hold like Rav Yehuda. We paskin like Rav Shimon, who holds less than muktzah. So what I'm going to try to do with tonight's shiur is, before going into all the detail, before actually going into all the different categories of muktzah and defining the categories of muktzah and explaining each one and its nuanced detail, what I'm going to try to do this evening is to give the foundation of what muktzah is and to give some background on exactly what is it that we hold of in Rav Shimon, what is it that we have rejected from Rav Shimon, and exactly how Chazal put together this din of muktzah. So the first thing one needs to understand is that the quintessential muktzah is very different than what we call muktzah. The quintessential muktzah literally translates as something which is reserved or set aside for something. And when it's reserved and set aside for something, it no longer can be used for something else. Where do we find that concept? The concept appears in a number of places, but one example is with regard to a sukkah. A sukkah is muktzah. It's huktzah l'mitzvasei. It means the wood which was used to construct, to build your sukkah, was huktzah l'mitzvasei. It was reserved. It is reserved for the use of the mitzvah of sukkah. You can't decide in the middle of sukkahs that you would like to take down your sukkah and use it for an entirely different purpose. Why? Because the wood and everything else which is used to construct the sukkah has a reserved use. So you can't repurpose that sukkah for something else. That is the general concept of sukkah. And that's source number one on this source sheet. Is the Amar of Sheshis Mishum Rav Akiva Minayin La'atze Sukkah Shah Surin Kol Shiva? From where do I know that the wood of a sukkah is forbidden for use all 7 days of sukkahs? Tamalemar Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yamin. It's Chag HaSukkahs. V'tanya Rav Yehuda B'Mesera Emer Kishem Shachal Shem Shemaim Al Chagiga. Just like the shame of Hashem. Shivas Yamin LaHashem. The 7 days are connected with the name of Hashem. The shame of Hashem is also reserved to the actual physical sukkah. For how long? For Shivas Yom Hashem, 7 days for Hashem. So again, this is really has nothing to do with our topic. But what it does say to us is, this is what muktzah is. Huktzah l'mitzvah means it's something which has a reserved purpose, and it cannot be repurposed for something else. And just a little bit of background, something we've discussed a number of times in a lot of our Hilchas Shabbos Shiurim. What makes something a forbidden malacha on Shabbos is that it has some element, some form of recreation. It means you have something which really didn't have the purpose that it has now, but through your action, you are recreating that item to the point where it now can do something completely different than it was able to do beforehand. So, to the point where, when it comes to cooking, the Rishonim are busy trying to figure out which items actually have a prohibition of cooking. Some things just change in temperature. Some water is cold, and then it becomes hot. Perhaps that's not enough of a creation in an item to call it a malacha. So the Rishonim discuss why it is that cooking water actually changes its halachic status or is considered a recreation in the water. So the concept of muktzah is the same thing. It's that it had one purpose, and that purpose was clear. And you are repurposing this item on Shabbos for an entirely different purpose. That is the quintessential muktzah. Now, we know muktzah to mean you can't move things, you can't, perhaps some would say you can't touch certain things. But again, the real idea behind muktzah is that it is something which has one purpose, and you're redefining that purpose. You are giving it a new purpose on Shabbos by using it for something else. That's the classic muktzah. Now, we're going to see later on, there was a second gezerah that came out later called gezerah kalim, which also meant that there was a prohibition of moving certain things. But in the classic muktzahs, what we're going to be discussing is something which either has no purpose, and you are giving that item a purpose, like a rock, a stone, it has no purpose. And you say, hey, I have use for this. You're repurposing that on Shabbos. So it's this item is either a muktzah for purpose 1, 2, or 3, and you're now giving it a new purpose, or it's not at all purposed for anything. It has no use, and you are creating a use for that item. And we're going to see very soon that in source number 2, this is the Mishnah which came up not so long ago in Daf Yomi. The Mishnah says, "A nice and kli tachas haner lekabel by a shemen." This is the idea of bitul kli me'echanai. We're not going to discuss that so much right now, but the idea is you are taking a keli and you are placing it underneath a ner, a flame. Now what's going to happen is the shem is going to fall in it, thereby making the keli mukta. The Mishnah ends off and writes, "Ve'ene usim imenu." You're not allowed to benefit from the oil. Why? Lefi she'ene min amuchan. Why? Because this oil was not dedicated or not prepared to be used for your salad. So say you have olive oil inside your ner. This olive oil was set aside. It was huktza. It was prepared to be burned in your flame. What happens on Shabbos? It splashes out of the flame. And you say, you know what? I gathered a lot of olive oil on the table. That would probably go well on my salad. So therefore, let me put it in. So that is a problem, lefi she'enoi min hamuchan. Enoi min hamuchan and muktzah are really exactly the same thing. Muktzah is the positive definition of this is specifically muchan, it's specifically prepared for use for one thing and not another thing. And then there is the other idea of something which is, it's not prepared for anything, it's not muchan. It's not at all prepared to be used for anything else other than the purpose. Sorry, it's not at all prepared to be used at all for anything. So that's the first thing we have to accomplish. Number one, what is muktzah? Muktzah means it's either reserved, dedicated for one purpose and not another purpose. And giving it a new purpose on Shabbos is the issue that we're going to be discussing. Number two, the second idea is that it's not at all purposed for anything. And when I use it, I am giving it a brand new purpose. So those are the first two sources. Is muktzah din dirabanan, or is muktzah din midairaisa? So again, this is something which sometimes gets confusing just because of certain gemaras that we find in different places. And one example of that is in Psachim, Andaf Memzayin Amud Beis. In Psachim, Andaf Memzayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says as follows, Umukta da'iraisahu? Is mukta mid asr midairaisa? Is there an isr midairaisa for a person to use something for another purpose other than what it's set aside for? The Gemara says, Amarlei in. Yes, mukta is an issur midaraisa. It is a biblical prohibition. From where do we have a issur midaraisa for mukta? Says the Gemara in Psachim, the Ksiv, V'haya b'yoyim hashishi v'hechinu asashayaviyu, v'azharta mihacha milatasa komalacha. The Gemara seems to be saying that the issur of mukta, the prohibition to repurpose an item for an entirely new use on Shabbos, is an issur midaraisa. Why? For the Torah says, v'hechinu asashar yaviyu. One should prepare what he's going to be using on Shabbos before Shabbos. And Rashi in source number 4 explains that this is clearly not telling us that there is a prohibition to cook on Shabbos or to bake on Shabbos, because the pasuk was very clear about that. It says, asher toifu efu, v'asher tevashu vashlu bashelu. The Torah tells you very clearly to cook everything and to bake everything that you plan to use before Shabbos. So if that's the case, what's this v'hechinu asher yaviyu, prepare everything you need before Shabbos, coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, is coming to teach us that mukta is an issur midaraisa, and therefore what that means is repurposing an item for a use that it was not set aside for beforehand is an issur midaraisa. Rashi right there says, from here we learn that there is an issur midaraisa for mukta. Now this is obviously a very puzzling line, because we all know that mukta is an issur midrabanan. So what does this mean? We seem to have an open Gemara in Pesachim which says that repurposing an item for a new use on Shabbos is an issur midaraisa. Tosfos right there in source number 5, it's actually a Tosfos in Erevin. Tosfos says, V'rashi pirish, bebeitza, derabu l'taimei d'amar al-libei be'elu erevin demuktsu midaraisa mihaikra, says Tosfos, v'loi nehira. This is not correct. V'oid demashma hasam dehadarbe. So Tosfos points out, either it's incorrect, or Rabba, who was the one who was speaking in that Gemara, indeed changed his mind about this. Tosfos says the same thing in Psachim, says the hasam itzer mukta ein loy sharish min haTorah. So Tosfos is very clear that the isser mukta, as we know it, is an isser midrabanan. It is rabbinic prohibition and not an isser midaraisa. So clear, again, to kind of wrap up what we said so far, mukta in our language, for some reason, took on every prohibited act on Shabbos. You could hear a child say to somebody, hey, you can't turn the light off on Shabbos. It's mukta. You can't cook on Shabbos because it's mukta. You can't build a house on Shabbos because it's mukta. Now, certainly, a lot of those things include an issur mukta, but there is a lot more of a serious problem to turn a light on Shabbos or to build a house on Shabbos than the issur of mukta. In truth, what mukta means, that when an item is not prepared for the use that you intend to use it for, and you repurpose that item for that use, it's mukta. That's the idea of mukta. Where does this come from? This is an issur midrabanan. Why did the Rabbanan make this takana? So the Rambam is really the one who explains to us clearly where this issur came from. I'm going to quote it from the Chaya Adam, because the Chaya Adam in Klal Samach Vav, really, he has a very clear and comprehensive explanation of all the dinim of mukta, and he explains to us why there's so many differences. One of the reasons why mukta got itself a bad rap is because when you hear mukta, sometimes mukta is practically untouchable, and in some cases you'll say, oh, it's mukta, but you're allowed to use it for this, you're allowed to use it for something else. If you need a litzaruch gufa, litzaruch makoma, you need the space, if you're holding it already. So the Chayadav explains why there are so many differences in mukta. And one of the things we have to keep in mind is, as I said earlier, mukta means to repurpose an item for a new use. Now, something which has a use on Shabbos, it's a keli, it's something which has a designated purpose, is really not the quintessential issur of mukta. That's an idea of gezeiras kelim, which we're going to cover in a couple weeks from now, But that's not the quintessential mukta. The quintessential mukta is something which either is designated for one purpose and you are repurposing it, or it has no use at all and you're creating a use for it on Shabbos. Now, what's the problem with that? Why is that an issue? So let's see source number 7, the Chayei Adam. We're going to start from the part where I divided it up, v'hatam sha'asru. So there are four different reasons that he quotes here. Kasav Rambam, v'zel l'shono, uma'im his hiru hanavim, shelo yehehi luchacha b'shabbos, kishalchol, v'lo sichas shabbos kishalchol, kavachomer shelo yehe tilta b'shabbos ketilta b'chol. We see in that there is an idea of v'daber davar m'mtzei chefzecha v'daber davar, that the way a person acts on Shabbos and the way a person speaks on Shabbos just needs to be different than the way he speaks during the week. And exactly under which cases there would be a problem of speech, what's prohibited, what's not, is a different topic. But ultimately, the way a person acts on Shabbos needs to be different than during the week. Says the Rambam, if the way you speak and the way you walk is going to be different, certainly the activities that you engage in on Shabbos need to be different. And he explains why, kidei shelo yehe be'enav ki yom chol, v'yavo l'saken u'lahagbia kelim mipina lepina mibayis lebayis u'latznia avanu mekiyotzeben. Ultimately, what the Rambam is saying to us is, we don't want Shabbos becoming a second Sunday. Sunday is the day when you're not going to work, and Sunday is the day when you get all those household chores out of the way. Says the Rambam, we have significant reason to believe that if everyone's off on Shabbos and everyone has plenty of time to tend to their affairs on Shabbos, so then what happens? Shabbos becomes a regular day. And he goes on to explain, Shehare Yoshe Bebeso Batal, person sits in his house without work, any work to do. Umuvakesh Davarlis Asekbo, he's looking for something to do. A person doesn't have what to do on Shabbos. So this is assuming a person doesn't have positive activities to engage in. But if a person doesn't find himself having things to do because he can't work, so if he's going to engage in the same activities as he engages in every other day of the week, so then Shabbos indeed will look like every other day of the week. And he won't be able to enjoy a peaceful, restful Shabbos. That's number one. Number two, the Ode. Kishe yivaker v'yataltel kelim shemalachton le'iser, efshir shi'as asik ben ma'at v'yolodei malacha. If a person is going to use items or move items on Shabbos that are designated for a malacha which is prohibited on Shabbos, you may actually come to use it. So a person finds his hammer and his screwdriver just lying around the house. He says it's a good time to start cleaning up and put them away. So as he's passing by on the steps, on the banister which was coming loose, on the way downstairs, he says, you know, let me just knock that nail in. Just takes one or two bangs. So the second reason is, so a person should not inadvertently come to violate one of the lama tests of his malachis with something which was mukta. Number three, v'ayid, another reason, mepnei, shemiktas ha'am heim tayolim, there are some people who don't do anything ever. And what happens? If Shabbos looked like every other day, of course this is not relevant to anyone in this audience, but there are some people someplace who don't really engage in that much positive activity. And what happens if on Shabbos you could just do the same things you do the rest of the week? So lo Shabbos shvisa nikaras. Shabbos looks exactly the same as every other day of the week. Ulefikach shvisa bedvarim elu hi shvisa hashava b'chalecha. If we're going to make an objective set of rules, of restrictions on Shabbos, so that everyone will have the ability to ultimately have a unified shvisa on Shabbos. Mipnei ze amar shleitalta al kelim hatzara klem. Therefore, Chazal said, only use things that you need, The fourth reason he writes is the Ravid writes Kasava Tamishum Geder Haitza. We don't want people to inadvertently carry things in areas where they're not allowed to carry them. So if you're not moving them around, you certainly won't come to carry them. So these are four different reasons why Chazal went ahead and created an Isra of Mukta not to use items on Shabbos, which otherwise would have been permissible to use. In other words, Arak. It's not an Isra Malacha. I'm not picking it out of the ground. We're not talking about any issue of Zareya. It's not Chayrish. It's not Chayfer. There's nothing. I'm just carrying Arak. But if it's going to be permissible to clean up the yard on Shabbos, of course I'm not mowing the lawn, I'm not pruning the bushes, I'm just cleaning up the yard, so then perhaps that will look like the rest of the week. But the Chayadim is very puzzled by the idea that in all these items that we mentioned, they have different halachas. The halacha of a rock is not the same halacha as a screwdriver. And the halacha of leftover wood from a building project is not the same thing as a very expensive house ornament that you have that's used to decorate the house. They all have their own separate halachas. So we're going to explain each one, why it's different. But what he writes at the end is very important, where it's underlined. He writes, even though we don't paskin that muktzah is also midaraisa, mikal makayim smach gadol samchu al pasuk zeh. Chazal used that pasuk of Vehechinu Asasher Yaviyu as their guide to describe what's mutter and what's asur on Shabbos. Shlei l'taltal ela mashahu muchan me'erev Shabbos. That a person should not be metaltal, he should not move anything unless it is designated for that purpose on Erev Shabbos. I'm a me'la aisha hechin v'machshava, whether it's naturally prepared for that, or he actually went ahead and positively prepared it for that action. B'chol davar l'fitash mishay. Everything according to its normal use. V'zeo hatam atzme darmina migud iskatzoy l'ben hashmashas iskatzoy l'kuli yayma. We're going to get to this in just a minute. But the Chayadim is saying, you know why there are different halachas of mukta for different things? The reason is because different things have different purposes. And the purpose of an item is going to be its designated purpose for the whole Shabbos. So, just to give an example, a rock has no purpose on Friday, it has no purpose on Friday evening, it has no purpose on Friday night, it has no purpose on Shabbos morning. If Shabbos afternoon, all of a sudden you come up with this idea that I would like to use a rock for something, it's mukta, and you can't use it for that. Now, with that being the case, a screwdriver also cannot just be used on Shabbos for whatever purpose you want. But on Friday, it had a purpose. It had a purpose to screw a screw into the wall. And that's an Isra Midaraisa. You can't build things on Shabbos. But you know what? It also has a purpose that, you go think of it. I can bust open a coconut with a screwdriver. Or I can use it if I'm in shul, I'm the balkore, and I just can't find that yad which always seems to get lost, and I need to find my place, and there's nothing in shul that I could possibly use to point to the Sefer Torah. I could theoretically use a screwdriver. Now, I would recommend trying to find something else. But ultimately, I could find a purpose for it. It's a keli. It has a use. It has a good use, and the truth is, I would use it for that purpose during the week, and I would use it for that purpose on Shabbos. So whatever use it had before Shabbos, it maintains that use throughout the rest of Shabbos. Which leads us into the next concept, which is really Mukta Machmas Isser and Migud Iskatzer Lebein Hashmashes. These two things are really exactly the same idea. Mukta Machmas Isser, which is something which came up not so long ago in the Daf, but ultimately it starts with a Mishnah which talks about a three-way Machlekes with regard to a Ner on Shabbos, whether or not it can be used. Now this really gets us back into our discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And again, back to this puzzling question, if we know that Rabbi Shimon is less lay mukta, he holds there's no such thing as mukta. If that's the case, why is it? Barry, there's a hand that you can click on the link on the top of the chat. You'll be able to find it. Um, why is it that Reb Shimon, who says, who holds less lay mukta, it seems that all of a sudden there's so many issues of mukta? If we paskin like Reb Shimon that less lay mukta, then why is it that we have so many simanim and Shulchan Aruch which discuss mukta? So just to address this very, very quickly and easily, when Reb Shimon says less lay mukta, what that generally means is not that he doesn't hold the mukta at all, but he is much more liberal in his definition of what is considered min hamukhan, something which is considered prepared from before Shabbos. In other words, he's really defining a person's intent when he has an item. The concept called yeshiv u'metzapa, that a person, he understands that perhaps this item is designated for purpose number one, but he understands it's very possible he might want to use it for something else. But again, he's not disagreeing with the entire concept that if something is not at all designated for any purpose from before Shabbos, that I can go ahead and start designating it for a purpose. Similarly, he agrees if something is specifically designated for purpose A, you can't just go ahead and repurpose it. The question is, when it comes to this ner, what's the halach with a candle after it's used? Now, I did not bring the Gemara in the source sheet. I didn't want to get into too much detail, but in Siman Reishayin Tes and Shulchan Aruch Shabbos, Asur lo taltloi l'stapik b'mina b'ayis HaShabbos. So a flame, if you have a ner, which is a lamp, after the fire goes out, it can't be used anymore on Shabbos. Similarly, the oil, which is in the lamp, which is fueling the flame, cannot be repurposed on that Shabbos to be used. So like the example we gave at the beginning of this year, a person lights a lamp at the beginning of Shabbos with olive oil, the fire goes out, and he says, you know what, I'd like to put this into my salad. The halacha is, no, you can't do that. You can't use that oil for your salad. Now, what's the reason for that? The reason is because if Ben Hashmashas, as Shabbos came in, you were to go ahead and scoop some of that oil out of the ner, you would have violated an Isser of Kibui, because you are directly causing that flame to go out earlier than it would have. You're taking away the fuel which is connected to this wick, which is fueling the fire. So, this oil becomes mukta, machmas, because it was Isser for you to use that oil during Ben Hashmashas. So since during Ben Hashmashas, at the onset of Shabbos, it was prohibited for you to take that oil out of the lamp, because taking it out of the lamp would have constituted an Isser midiraisa of Kibui, putting out a flame, causing a flame to go out early. So therefore, that halacha extends throughout the rest of Shabbos. That's the concept and the idea of Migu Diskatsoy Ben Hashmashas. Since this item was set aside during the onset of Shabbos, during Ben Hashmashos, it retains that status the rest of Shabbos. And that is the rule of thumb that's going to come up throughout all of Muktzah. Whatever an item is designated for during the Ben Hashmashos period, that purpose is going to remain its purpose the rest of Shabbos. The only exception to this is when you know before Shabbos that it's going to change. This concept is called the concept of Gamru Bidei Adam. In other words, you have the ability within your ability to change that. For example, and the Gemara discusses this, and this is a fairly obvious question. Beans or legumes, in the example of the Gemara, are not edible. You can't eat a hard raw bean. Now we know the halacha is, a person can put up a challan right before Shabbos if it's completely raw before Shabbos. Now I ask you, if you put that challan up right before Shabbos, during Ben Hashmashas, if you want to scoop out some of those beans, it's not going to be edible. So now, if that's the case, then how are you allowed to eat the challan on Shabbos morning? The beans should be mukta. They're not edible. You want to go ahead and change them on Shabbos. Why should they change? So the answer to this, and Tosfos discusses this, it's in source number 12, and it's the bold print, Ela gamru bidei adam laika mibayle, ki kamibayle gamru bidei shemayim. When a person knows that it's going to change because of an action that I took on Shabbos, I know it's going to change. I know cooking it for the 12 hours, 13, 15, 18 hours that Chalon cooks is going to make those beans edible. The fact that during the Bein Hashmashos period of Shabbos, the fact that they were inedible during that point in time does not mean that I can't eat them the rest of Shabbos. Now, this is actually something which comes up fairly frequently, fairly common. We're going to give two examples for it, but sometimes you have a case which is not so common. I remember on my... we'll discuss this shiloh later, but I'm just going to point this out to you through Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. A person has drenched clothing, sopping wet clothing, from before Shabbos. Halacha is sopping wet clothing on Muktzah. You're not allowed to touch sopping wet clothing on Shabbos because of the Isser of Schita. Now, in Simen Shin Aleph, source number 15, the Mechaber writes as follows, Begodim Ashruim B'mayim, you can't dry them off close to the fire. Says the Ramah, not only is it forbidden for a person to dry them off near the fire because of the Isser Bishul on the water, but it's also forbidden for a person to even move them, maybe because maybe he'll come to squeeze them. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in source number 17, he writes that if they were really drenched, they were sopping wet the whole during Bein Hashmashos, they would be muktzah the rest of Shabbos. So asks the Minchas Yitzchak a shaila. He says, hold on a second. I know clothing don't stay drenched forever. I know that if I hang them out to dry, they're going to dry by the morning. So why is it that the Mishnah Berurah is paskining, he's ruling, that clothing that were drenched during Bein Hashmashos remain muktzah for the rest of Shabbos? It shouldn't be that way. Because, ultimately, I know that by the time morning comes, they're going to dry. This should be a case of gomer b'dayadam. It should be like beans. Beans, I know that they're going to cook. They're going to be ready. So why is it that clothing become asr? Says the Michas Yitzchak, it must be talking about a case where it was cloudy outside and it was not at all clear that it was like one of these damp, musty days, and it was just everything was wet, and it was entirely possible that it would have remained wet throughout the rest of Shabbos. So we're going to leave it with this. But what I want to wrap up with is three things. Number one, muktzah means that something is either designated for a purpose not to be used on Shabbos, or it lacks preparation to be used on Shabbos. That's the definition of muktzah. When it lacks preparation for use on Shabbos, or is prepared to be used for something else on Shabbos, what happens? You cannot repurpose it on Shabbos. That's number one. Is it Dereis or Drabanan? It's Drabanan. However, the scope of the Isser was based off the concept of the Pasuk Ve'echinu Asasher Yaviyu. And Chazal differentiated between in different items to decide whether it's mutter or asr to be used based on its normal use. That's why there are differences in halacha. What determines an item's use? The answer is what it was prepared to be used for during Bein Hashmashos, during the onset of Shabbos. Unless I know it's going to change. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to discuss in detail the different categories of muktzah, which include muktzah machmas gufay, muktzah machmas iser, which we discussed briefly here. We're going to discuss muktzah machmas kesar and kis. We're going to discuss muktzah, which is kelim shemalach dun leiser. We're going to discuss buses and a couple other areas of muktzah and heterim, when a person is allowed to indeed move or use items for purposes other than what they were designated for. But we will stop here and have a wonderful night.
Hey, Rabbi, can you take a question?
Yeah, go ahead.